Good morning. Good morning. Welcome again to LifePoint Church. My name is Brian Wolf, and I'm the community life pastor here. And I'm not normally here. Adam Purcell is our teaching pastor, and he has been blessed with an 8-week sabbatical. So please continue to be in prayer for him as he gets some much needed rest and relaxation. If you are new with us this morning, a special welcome to you. We are in the midst of a series that we are calling Adulting, which is essentially looking at some of the eternal life hacks in the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs, if you're familiar with the Bible, is a book of wisdom. And so what we've been saying, the big idea is this, is that wisdom is doing life God's way. Wisdom is living life God's way. So the book of Proverbs really places two clear paths. On one side, there is the path of the foolish person, or sometimes referred to as the youth. And that path ultimately leads to death. And then the other path is the path of wisdom. And that path leads to life. And so what we've been saying is, really, wisdom is the fruit of a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. And so that path of wisdom is a path through Jesus. So if you want wisdom in your life, you need to go through his son, God's son, Jesus the Christ. And so today, as we continue in this study and look at some of the different themes that we find in the book of Proverbs, we'll be talking about parenting. So today we'll talk about parenting. Now, some of you are students, yeah? Some of you aren't parents yet. You're perhaps middle school, high school, or just college age and don't have children, so you might want to check out, right? You might want to check out because this has nothing to pertain with you, but it does. It does. You see, one day, you're going to find that special someone, and Lord willing, you'll get married, and God will bless you with children, and you're going to need wisdom to raise up your children. Now, many of you are young families, and you are in the throes of raising children, and perhaps you have your hands lifted high saying, God, give me wisdom to parent these children. Some of you are in a different season of life. Perhaps you're empty nesters, and maybe you have grandchildren, but this message is also for you because God, through his word in Titus 2, says that those of you who are older and mature, you are to come alongside those who are younger and to encourage them to love their spouse, to love their children. So hopefully I've convinced you that this theme of parenting is for each and every one of us. Because I believe that the book of Proverbs really is an instruction manual for wise parenting. But before we dive into this morning's message, before we look at the book of Proverbs, would you pray with me? Now, Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to just come together with complete freedom to worship you, to study your word together. And Father, we admit that many times we make very foolish choices. And so we ask, Father, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom, especially those who are in the throes of parenting. Help us to glean truths from your word and help us to apply it to our lives. And I just ask again, Father, that your spirit who inspired these words would truly be our teacher. Speak through me for the good of your people and for the glory of your great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start out in Proverbs chapter 1, and I just want to show you really an introduction to the book of Proverbs, which we see in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, where we see this interaction of a father and a son. And that's why I say that the book of Proverbs is really an instruction manual to wise parenting. So if you have your electronic device, you can follow along in the notes section, or you can follow along with the verses on the screen behind me. So the first one I'm going to read is Proverbs 1:8, which says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." Now turning to chapter 4, starting again in verse 1, says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live." And the last verse that I'll share is in chapter 6, verse 20, and it says this: "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." So if you're following along in the listening guide or again in the notes app, the fill in the blank there is this: children, listen to your parents. Children, listen to your parents. We see this over and over again in those verses that we just read. Children are to listen. They are to hear. And in the negative, it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. You are to keep or to obey your father's instruction. Just to illustrate that fact, and I realize, you know, I turned 50 here just a couple of weeks ago, so I'm an old man now. And I realize I'm referring a lot to my childhood and younger years of life, and supposedly that's a sign that you're getting old. You talk about when you were young. So many years ago, I was finishing up my graduate degree at The Ohio State University, and on a very warm May day, we had our outdoor commencement, and literally thousands of us graduates there. And on that particular day, we had a special speaker. Now, most of you who've graduated from college probably can't remember who spoke at your commencement, but on that day, I'll never forget the guy who spoke, because he's quite famous, and I would guess that everyone in this auditorium knows who he is, and that is Bill Cosby. Yeah. Now, Bill Cosby is not generally known for living a wise life, but on that particular day, he had some very wise words for us graduates. See, on that day, he said, now, as you guys go out into whatever your career or the next level of education, as you pursue continued education, he's like, you're going to come across times where you're not going to know for sure what you should do. And he's like, you're going to need to ask advice from someone. And he's like, don't ask advice from your friends. He's like, don't ask advice from them because they don't know anything more than you do. He said this, he's like, ask your parents because your parents have lived through what you're going through. They have wisdom to be able to share with you. And that's what the book of Proverbs is saying here. It's a father speaking to his son. He's like, hear me, listen to me. And the Bible says over and over again, don't forsake the instructions of your parents, but you are to keep them, to obey them. So the New Testament says it this way. So the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we see there sort of a structure of authority. So first and foremost, above all, is God. And God has given authority to parents to teach and train their children. So children, in order to obey God, must obey the authority that God has placed into their lives, and that is their parents. And so he continues, and he quotes the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments that we find in the Old Testament, and he says, honor your father and mother. And he notes, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And so I like to think of life sort of like a playing field. So if you're playing soccer, if you're playing football, you know, you got this big field, and on the outside edge of the field are these solid white lines, right, that mark when you get out of bounds. And so life is a lot like that. So if we live and we're playing on the field, you know, that's an active game, right? And within that area, these borders that God has established for us, when we're inside those, it says that things will go well, that you'll live a long life. And so children, obey your parents. Obey the commandments as they teach you God's word. Because when you leave the field, that's when trouble comes in. Yeah. So we are to follow the instructions of the Lord. We are to obey our parents. And then Paul has a word specifically for us who are parents. And he addresses directly fathers. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Yeah. Don't provoke your children to anger. What does that mean? It means, yes, a lot of times as parents, we can sort of abuse the authority that God has given us, right? And we could be sitting on our sofa and just demanding things out of our children. That's not what God wants. He wants us to have a loving relationship with our children, not just barking orders at them like a commander. We are to love and not provoke our children unto anger. But, he continues, we must discipline and instruct them in the Lord. That is what God has called you and I to as parents. We are to discipline and instruct them in the Lord. So there's a couple presuppositions that Scripture teaches that I think we all should know and understand as we dive into the meaning of this. And the first one is this, that God created an environment, and an ideal environment for the raising of children, and that is in a home, in a family. And the Bible would teach quite clearly from the beginning of Genesis that that unit is a covenantal marriage between one man and one woman. And when those two come together in a covenant, a lifelong covenant of marriage, generally God brings the blessing of children. So it's within that family environment that we are to discipline and raise up our children to literally nourish them in the Lord. So if you are here in that covenant relationship and raising children, that is the ideal that God has for you. And in fact, some research shows that children who grow up and are more stable and successful are those who have been raised in a family where there is a strong and healthy relationship between a husband and a wife. So Christian or non-Christian, that's the environment that God has created for raising up our children. But perhaps you are here and you're a single parent. Perhaps you're here and because of a death of a spouse or because of separation or divorce, or perhaps you're just a single parent in the spiritual sense because your spouse is not a believer. But take hope in this, that God is with you, that we as a church, we want to come alongside you and help you as you seek to raise up your children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. I see what the Bible teaches as parenting. I guess summarize it as this, that parenting really is discipleship, right? That we want to raise our children up, we want to nourish our children in the things of the Lord. And so we have a promise from the Lord himself. When he gave the Great Commission at the end of Matthew chapter 28, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, and we are to baptize them, and we are to teach them. And he says, behold, I am with you. So parents, if you're together as a couple, or if you're single and they're raising up your children, know this. Jesus is with you. He is right alongside you, just like we were singing. He is with you in the fire. And so the second presupposition that I think we should understand is this. First, let me say it this way. When babies are born, they are not this innocent, perfect child with a blank slate. Yeah, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that they are born ignorant and set in their own way, right? Because you and I, we've lived it, right? We realize that we have a sinful nature. We have this fallen nature. And so we want to choose our own way. We are quite selfish. The fact is, my parents, my mom and dad, they didn't have to teach me how to lie or how to cheat or how to be selfish. It came quite naturally, right? And no one had to teach you how to do those things because that is your nature. And so that is why our children need instruction and discipline. I'll illustrate it this way. So I was in grade school. I'm not even sure if my kids have heard this story. I was in grade school. I think I was actually in middle school. And so raised on a farm, so lots of space to play. It was the summertime. I'd had a friend over, and through the middle of our farm, there was a creek. And so on that warm summer day, we're outside playing in the creek. And it was gotten really hot. And so in the front of the farm, there was a state highway. And so we decided, let's play in the creek in the shade underneath the bridge. And so we began to play in the creek in the shade under the bridge. And all of a sudden, we recognized that on one side of the bank of the creek, there was this mud that was just really good for packing. And so we decided, let's make a bunch of mud balls. And so we started making a bunch of mud balls and had a stack of mud balls there. And I'm not sure whose idea it was, if it was mine or my friend's. But we decided, hey, let's try to hit a car as it drives by 55 miles an hour on the bridge above us. And so we began to launch these mud balls over the bridge, hoping to hit a car. And we had launched lots of mud balls hadn't hit anything, and then all of a sudden, smack, we hit a pickup truck right on the side. And the driver of that truck, he heard that big clunk, right? And so he immediately pulls over thinking that something was wrong with his vehicle, and we realize we're in big trouble. So we started to get all our stuff together to try to get out of there, and before long, he was down there under the bridge with us. He's like, hey, boys. He's like, anybody else down here with you? And asking us some questions, and he's like, hey, somebody's been throwing mud balls, I see. And we're like denying anything, like we had anything involved in it. And before long, we were in the back of this guy's pickup truck, and he was taking us to my parents' home. And so we get to the house, and mom is just begging forgiveness of this gentleman, and we have to wash his truck and also ask for forgiveness. You see, children are foolish. They need discipline and instruction. So one of the more famous proverbs when it is related to teaching or to training of children says this in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And as Christian parents, we like to claim to that verse, right? But it's interesting, my observation of our culture and speaking with other pastors, they would say the same, that all of us parents, we are training our children, right? We're either doing a good job of it or not a good job of it, but we're training our children. And the unfortunate thing is many times, even in Christian families, we're doing a good job of training our children, but not in the things of the Lord. We're training our children to be independent of us, to be successful in life, whether it's in academics or in sports or just to be popular. We're pushing our children to pursue what we refer to as the American dream, to be independent and on their own and successful. Now, there are some components of that that are good, but the Bible doesn't teach us to train up our children to be independent and successful. You see, when our children are born, they are completely dependent upon us, right? We have to feed them, we have to bathe them, we have to change their diapers, we have to provide them shelter. And so we want to encourage them as quickly as possible to be, especially financially, independent of us, right? But no, in Christian parenting, we want them to transfer their dependence upon us to depend upon God, to depend upon the Lord. And so that should be our primary focus as we train up our children. We all want the best for our children, right? And the Lord tells us that we are to train them up. So we might ask ourselves this a few questions. So what exactly do we teach our children? So I would say, first and foremost, we want to teach our children to love and follow the Lord. Jesus, when he was asked, you know, to give essentially, what's the greatest commandment? Yeah, 600 and some commandments in the Old Testament. And he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. He said the second commandment, not the second commandment of Ten Commandments, but the second one in order of importance is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so if I were to summarize what it means to raise our children in the Lord, it's to teach them, to train them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others, to put others' interests above themselves. And so you might ask yourself, too, what else? What else is there to that? And that's, again, why I say the book of Proverbs is a book of, it's an instruction manual for wise parenting, right? So there are multiple themes within this book, and we've already addressed some, and we'll continue in this series to address others, looking at money management, looking at sex and sexual immorality, looking at relationships and the use of our words, all those things that we should be teaching our children. So today is the 30th of June, right? We're literally halfway through this year. And so tomorrow, the 1st of July, 31 days in the month of July, and guess what? 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So my challenge to you is this, especially if you are parents and have children in your home, read a chapter of Proverbs every day this month. Challenge your children to read alongside with you and discuss some of the themes that are brought out in this book. Teach your children to love and follow the Lord. So we might ask ourselves, okay, we know the what to teach, but now when? When do we teach our children? In the Old Testament, we see this in Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. And so we have Moses, he's received the commandments of the Lord, and he is in front of the congregation, that is Israel, the nation of God. And he's speaking primarily to the men who would have been present there. And he says this, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." So first and foremost, parents, you need to be in God's word, studying God's word, in order to teach it. And so he continues, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." So the answer to the when question is this, every opportunity that you have, when you get up, when you lie down, when you're on your way, and when you're sitting at the table. Take every advantage that you have to teach them. And it says, teach them diligently. It's not like, okay, let's sit down, we're going to read through the Ten Commandments. Okay, did that, check, we're done. It's not like that. We need to continue to repeat, yeah? Our children are just like us. We forget things, right? So we need to diligently teach them, to repeat those things to them, to train them. So last fall and at the beginning of this year, we launched as a church what we call Family Framework. And so if you are a parent and have not yet received a copy of this, please pick one up out at Guest Central right outside these double doors. Or if you're interested, you can download a PDF copy of this on our website, lifepointohio.com. But in this, we as a church just want to say, families, we want to come alongside you as you seek to make your children disciples of Jesus Christ. And so this booklet is sort of a way to outline. We want to help you essentially to establish a family rhythm of discipleship. And so we talk about four M's within this family rhythm. It's a family rhythm of modeling, meeting, moments, and milestones. And so we must realize that first and foremost, that our kids, a lot of times, don't do what we say, but they do what we do, right? And so we need to model what it means following Christ to them, what it means to have a time alone with God in his word and prayer. We need to model that to them. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He said, "Follow me as I follow the example of Christ." We want to do that, be able to say that to our children, to live out our faith in front of them, to literally practice what we preach. We want to be good models for our children. Secondly, we talk about meeting. That is essentially being intentional and sitting down and teaching our children. Right? I'm not saying that you have to have an hour worship service every day in your house. Yeah, if you can do that, great. But most of us, that is just not a practical thing for us to do. But be intentional. Set aside time to read God's word together, to look up a favorite worship song on YouTube and sing a worship song together as a family, or just sit down and pray together as a family. Be intentional to invest into the life of your children. One of the things that Dean and I used, especially when our children were younger, was the use of catechism. Catechisms are essentially just answers and questions that help us teach our children basic Christian doctrine. We also want to consider moments, the third M, moments. Let us just spend time with your kids. Have fun with them and take advantage of those teachable moments. So for us, a time that we generally have almost on a daily basis is time around the dinner table. Yeah. So that is an electronics-free time. So what does that mean? That means there's no television on in the back room. There's no music on in the back room. The phones, iPads, whatever, iPods, those are not on a table. Hopefully they're in the pocket or not even in the room. And it's a time where we can just have conversation around the dinner table. One of the sweetest moments in our lives as a family was the time that we were able to serve together. And so when our children were younger, we lived overseas. We're in the town of Ovalle in Chile. And we had to drive an hour up into the foothills to minister into this village where we had a small house church. And then we'd drive an hour down. So every Sunday, we had this hour commute up into the foothills, which was just a time of fun. A lot of times we would be singing and just conversing on the way up. We'd have a time in the village, in the house church, and then another hour back down out of the foothills. So parents, families, look for opportunities where you can serve together. Take advantage of the moments that God has given us. And one of the research things that I found was, this is pertaining to high schoolers, said that on a weekly basis, high schoolers have only about 25 to 30 minutes of FaceTime with their parents versus 25 to 30 hours with electronics. And so if those statistics hold true among us, we need to be very intentional, right? Take advantage of the moments that we have with our children. The last one there is milestones. We want to celebrate the successes, the next steps that our children are taking. So if you were here with us on Mother's Day, we celebrated as several families dedicated their children to the Lord. Also in the month of May, we celebrated the graduation of our high school seniors and college seniors as we have raised them up, and now we send them out to their next step of their future to be God's instruments and missionaries from this church. We want to celebrate those moments with our children. So hopefully you can see quite clearly the Bible teaches us that we are to instruct our children. And the Bible also teaches that we are to discipline our children. Now, Proverbs 13:24 says it this way. It says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." You see, discipline is an act of love. Discipline is an act of love. Now, if you were with us the 1st of June, Adam actually spoke about God's, our Heavenly Father's discipline upon us as his children. And so he's preaching out of Hebrews 12, which quotes and references Proverbs 3, 10 and 11. And so he was sharing with us that God, as a loving Heavenly Father, he disciplines us for our good, that we might share in his holiness. And so we, as earthly parents, are also called and commanded by God's word to discipline our children. Again, this proverb says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son." That's pretty strong language. "But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Now, in our culture, a lot of times you hear a summary of that saying, "Spare the rod, spoil the child." But Proverbs 29:15 would say it this way. He says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." You see, there are two ingredients in biblical discipline. There's reproof, or the communication, and then there's the rod, which would represent the corporal punishment. You can't do one without the other. So when I say rod, I think what Proverbs is quite clear in teaching is I'm talking about biblical spanking. Yeah. So I'm not talking about, okay, listen carefully. I'm not saying to beat your children, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to abuse your children. But there are times out of love for our children where we will bring some type of corporal punishment. And sometimes that includes biblical spanking. And so just a couple of practical things. First and foremost, don't discipline, spank your children when you're frustrated or mad. It's not probably not a good mindset in order to do that. You want to be able to do it lovingly. Don't discipline your children in public, especially in today's culture, right? Do it hopefully at home in a privacy of a room. Yeah? Even at our house, when we did apply this type of discipline, we didn't do it in front of their other siblings. We went into a different room. Generally, it was within a bathroom. And so we want to be wise and loving to address and speak with our children. And so again, there are two things involved here. There's some communication involved here. So hopefully you're able to sit down with your child and get them to confess the wrong that they did. And hopefully there'll be some repentance. And then you'll be able to share with them the consequences of that disobedience. And hopefully there's reconciliation and prayer together as you address the heart issues. So we're not just looking at outward behavioral modification. We're looking at transforming the heart. Look with me at a couple other proverbs. Proverbs 22:15 says this, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." So again, that sinful nature, this folly is bound in their heart. And so if we're not addressing the heart, we're not going to see the long-term changes that we hope for. Proverbs 23:13 says this, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die." That's good news. You're not going to kill your kids, right? If you do this correctly and biblically, it is bringing them life. Next in verse 14, Proverbs 23:14. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Yeah, the Old Testament equivalent of hell. This is a rescue mission. This is a rescue mission. We need to rescue our children from their folly. So I just want to conclude with this and say it this way. Biblical discipline opens the doors for you to share the gospel with your children. When you sit down with them and help them to recognize their sin, their disobedience, you're able to share with them, you have not only disobeyed mommy or daddy, but you have disobeyed God. And God has a punishment for that disobedience, right? And that punishment is death, eternal separation from God. But the good news is that Jesus, he came to die for daddy's sin. He came to die for your sin. It's like Jesus, he took our spanking. Yeah, that he paid the ultimate price that our sin deserves. And he rose again in victory over sin that we might be forgiven, that we might be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, and that we might live eternally with him in a place called heaven. And so our children need biblical instruction and discipline because it opens the door to share the gospel with them. Our children need Jesus. And it doesn't stop just there. Your neighbors need Jesus. May biblical discipline in your home also open the doors of conversation to share the gospel with your neighbors and to the unreached peoples of this earth. Currently, there are approximately 7.5 billion people living on this earth. And at least 5 billion of them would say they are not Christ followers. There are tons and tons of people who need Jesus. And so I would say to you, who, especially those of you who are currently in the throes of Jesus, the throes of parenthood, to raise up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Raise them up to be godly men and women who one day will be able to send out as missionaries to take the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, yes, we confess that we fail in many ways at training and raising and nourishing our children as you have called us to do. So on behalf of LifePoint Church, please forgive us. Forgive us for our foolishness. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom. Grant us wisdom in order to do what you have clearly taught us and commanded us to do. And Father, I thank you for the children of LifePoint Church. I thank you for the great responsibility that you have given to us to raise up our children. I pray that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior at a young age, and that they would just grow up in the knowledge of you and walk in your ways and would be used by you to take the good news of Jesus to the ends of this earth. And Father, I also pray now for those who are here among us who have yet to recognize and call upon Jesus. Pray that your Spirit would convict them of their sin, that Holy Spirit, you would convince them of the truth of Jesus and grant them repentance unto life. I pray that they would confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior in this day. And Father, I pray that you would continue to guide and bless us as we continue in our worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen.